Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. It seems the judicial system in our world is in the news almost every day. The International Court of Justice, the judicial arm of the UN, has been making headlines as they consider the Israel-Hamas war in the Gaza region. In America, the highly publicized courtroom appearances of former President Trump have dominated the news, and now the son of the current U.S. president finds himself in court. Have you ever thought much about the significant role of judges in societies around the world and the importance of judges being men and women of above-reproach integrity and beyond the influence of bribes or political pressure? Do you think you could handle the pressure of being a judge? Come with me again back to ancient Israel. I left you yesterday in Jerusalem about the year 853 B.C., King Jehoshaphat had just returned from his ill-fated alliance with King Ahab in their joint military operations against Ramoth-Gilead. King Ahab is dead and buried. His son Ahaziah is on the throne of Israel, leading his people in following the same wicked path as his father Ahab. As Jehoshaphat returned to Jerusalem, he was met by Jehu, a man of God, with a warning from God about his relationship with wicked King Ahab. Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. There is, however, some good in you, for you have rid the land of the Asherah poles and have set your heart on seeking God. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 1. It must have been a stunning message from God for King Jehoshaphat. Prior to his alliance with wicked King Ahab, both through marriage and their joint battle operations, Jehoshaphat had been a wonderful king of God's people, but he had drifted morally and was nearly killed in the battle which killed Ahab. It was a wake-up call, and with those words of Jehu ringing in his ears, King Jehoshaphat was determined to renew his efforts to lead the people of Judah in being a God-honoring nation. He personally went out visiting the towns and villages, urging the people to live God-honoring lives. And he appointed judges in each of the key fortified cities in Judah. We don't know what criteria was used to select these judges, but I'm fascinated by the commissioning message King Jehoshaphat gave these newly appointed judges, and I wonder what life would be like in your country and mine, your city and mine, if our judges used these words of King Jehoshaphat as their guidelines. Consider carefully what you do, because you are not judging for mere mortals, but for the Lord, who is with you whenever you give a verdict. Now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Judge carefully, for with the Lord our God there is no injustice or partiality or bribery. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 6. Now let's not rush past those words, my friends. They are challenging, aren't they? Does that represent what you know about the judicial system in your country? What if judges, all judges everywhere, no matter their legal training, no matter the laws of their land, no matter the simplicity or complexity of the cases they judge, what if all judges viewed their courtroom as a place where God was always present and honored? What if they always passed along their judgments, having discerned from God what God's evaluation of their case was? What if judges knew they would stand before God one day, face to face, as the holy, almighty, eternal judge, God himself would review with every human judge every case they ever presided over? What if the fear of the Lord permeated every courtroom so every witness, every lawyer, every judge, every member of the jury knew they would be held accountable before omniscient God according to God's holy standards of truth and honesty? That phrase, the fear of the Lord, is one used often in Israel's biblical history. It means to stand in awe of God and his holy majesty and justice. But it also means to fear the discipline or judgment of God. Moses, King David, King Solomon, and others wrote many warnings and challenges about the fear of the Lord God. May I give you two or three important examples, and I wonder what they mean in the judicial system of your nation. What about in your life and mine today? Moses said to the Israelites, gathered to hear his farewell messages just before Moses died, "Assemble the people so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. Deuteronomy 31. King David wrote, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever." Psalm 19. And in Psalm 111, David wrote, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding." King David's son Solomon wrote in his wisdom book Proverbs, "Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord." Proverbs 15. And in Proverbs 16, "Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided." And in Proverbs 19, "The fear of the Lord leads to life." And finally, in Proverbs 29, Solomon wrote, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare." Can you and I understand how this concept of the fear of the Lord was intended to be so significant in the judicial system under King Jehoshaphat? King Jehoshaphat also appointed judges in Jerusalem, the capital city of the nation, and we can assume these judges received the most difficult cases in their courtrooms. Jehoshaphat selected some Levites and heads of families as these judges, men who would know God's laws very well. The record says, King Jehoshaphat told these special judges, "You must serve faithfully and wholeheartedly in the fear of the Lord. In every case that comes before you, you are to warn the people not to sin against the Lord. Otherwise, God's wrath will come upon you and them." 2 Chronicles 19, verse 8. Now, my friends, when you consider the various aspects of your society, economics, education, healthcare, employment, housing opportunities, the family, governance, and religion, in order of importance, I wonder where you would put criminal justice, law and order, and the entire judicial system of your country. Clearly, for King Jehoshaphat and Judah, it became a very high priority for his people after his leadership failure in his alliance with wicked King Ahab. But shouldn't Jehoshaphat's words apply to every vocation, every family, in every nation in the world? Let's pause right here and consider the difference it would make in your life and mine, your city and mine, if every person lived every day faithful to King Jehoshaphat's words. May I offer a suggestion? Write on a card the words of Jehoshaphat which most impact your heart, and then carry that card in your pocket for a few days, reading it often. Pause often to consider how those words set a standard for your life, your work, your relationships, even your words. Let's ask God to help us have the courage to make the changes needed to live up to Jehoshaphat's standard. If you're a leader, what if those words define the ethics and integrity of what you lead? And here's a worship song to help us consider Jehoshaphat's important challenge.